This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Welcome to the middle of March, March 13th, This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, my partner Armand Kachigian, as we break down all the events that have occurred through the annals of time on March the 13th, and perhaps the events that affect the world we live in today, plus who celebrates a birthday and who exited stage left. Armand, how are you?
Just get to work. Let's start.
That's how you're going to start me off? I'm going to start you off with
We've
this.
We've already greeted each other.
1639, Harvard College is named after the clergyman, John Harvard.
Overrated institution.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Because not what you know, it's who you know at
they
Harvard.
They didn't want you in there.
I would have gotten turned down.
Did you apply?
No.
Well, you'll never know.
People
then,
with
will you?
Perfect ACT scores are
get
getting turned down
away.
All the
Today
time.
They do. They get turned
but
away.
But then you see these studies of like Harvard seniors and they don't know the capitals of Montana and shit. They're dumbasses.
Capital of Montana. Yes. Helena.
Very good.
I bet they said Billings.
A lot of things they don't know.
Yeah.
They're not doing very well at math either.
Really?
Yep.
Well, the math guys are across the street at MIT.
Yeah. Well, they're not at Harvard.
All right.
Anyway.
You're saying
if you want to spend $50,000-$60,000.
You're saying
a year,
it's a sham, huh?
Yeah. It's not worth the money.
Okay.
Why are they even charging anyway? They have you know how many billions
the
these guys
have? The endowment at Harvard is unbelievable.
Yeah. So they could be paying for the next 50 years.
It's bigger than some third world nations.
Yeah. But they still charge. So anyway.
1781, William Herschel discovers Uranus. I didn't realize it was that long ago. 1781.
Well, no, people were seeing it. You could see with the naked eye, actually. They just thought it was something else. They didn't know it was a planet.
He thought it was a comet
for a while there.
He was able to determine this thing's a planet.
Right, so we give it to him.
Which has got to be hard to do for the outer lying planets because it's not like you get to watch them.
Planet means wanderer. It was wandering.
Yeah, but it's wandering. But
few things about it.
You don't know if it's wandering through the solar system and out, or if it's going to make a whole orbit around the sun.
That's why you're an astronomer. You should be able to know these things.
How are you supposed to know?
You watch it with a telescope.
What? It takes like 800 years for
84 years.
84 years for Uranus to go around
that's
the sun.
Correct.
Who's got that kind of time?
We do. All right.
One guy.
It's got 27 moons. It's an ice giant.
That's incredible. 27.
Fourth largest planet. Yeah, they're all tiny.
I know.
The biggest five, I think, don't even add up to Titan. So
and
the biggest, I believe, is Titania.
Titania?
Yeah, and they're all itsy-bitsy.
I think Neptune has a fairly good-sized moon. Triton.
Triton's a big one. Yeah,
and,
Triton's pretty big.
Of course, the one for Saturn.
Titan. But the biggest is Ganymede.
Yeah, but Ganymede is you wouldn't necessarily want to land on Ganymede. I think they'd like to land someday on Titan.
Well, I don't know about that. It's methane lakes. It's the only place where there's liquid on the
surface.
I didn't
say land a person. Just get a
land.
Well, get
no,
a craft
they want to land in Europa. That's where they want to land because that's underneath. They want to crush through the ice. There's water underneath there.
That's one of the Jupiter.
Although there are those, what do they call
it's
them?
It's a Jovian satellite, as I like to
Jovian.
Say.
Yeah, Jovian. Yeah, I didn't know
you. It's J-O-V-I-A-N.
Right. I thought you said Jehovah, which I was assuming you meant God created it. Interesting, since I know you're an agnostic.
It's Jehovah. How do you say it?
Jovian.
Jovian. The Jovian satellites?
The Jovian satellites.
The four majors.
The Galilean satellites.
Or the Galileans.
Moons. Yeah, Jovian refers to Jupiter, but when you talk about
Jehovah, you refer to God.
But we're talking
about Jupiter is a god.
The Galilean satellites.
Jupiter is a god.
That's correct. Now, Uranus is the only Greek god. Did you know that? The rest of them are all Roman.
Yeah, it's Roman gods. So how did Uranus get into the naming rights
there? Well, because
it's
god of the sky, and Herschel. It took a while because it took like 70 years to name the damn thing.
Oh, gosh.
Herschel didn't do it. Anyway, it's tilted sideways.
Right.
It's on its side.
It's got the
rotating like a top on its side.
Yeah. It would be a perpendicular orbit to the other planets, basically, even so though
its poles are like where our equator would be.
Right. Its poles.
They think it got hit by some kind of protoplanet or
so
something.
So in terms of, this is hard to say because not all the planets are on the same plane.
Well, relatively close. The
relatively
ecliptic,
on the same
ecliptic
plane.
The ecliptic is pretty close, but, yeah.
So, yeah, the poles on Uranus are basically, in our perspective, are east-west.
Where they're, yeah, they're like the equator, our equator. It's like 98 degrees tilted. The moons are named after Shakespearean characters and Alexander Pope characters.
Like Miranda, Callista.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Callisto is, let's see, Callista, that's, I don't know if there's a Uranian moon. Ariel, you know, those kind of from Tempest. Anyway, it's, let's see, the first planet discovered by a telescope, of course. And 1.8 astronomical units difference, which has got, it's elliptical, which is the biggest difference in the planets.
It's got some great moon names. Look at this. So Titania.
Umbriel, Ariel.
Umbriel, Miranda, Ariel, Trinculo.
Trinculo. That's from Tempest.
Oberon.
Now,
here's my favorite.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Here's my favorite. Would you quit knocking your mic with your giant jug
you
of...
Stick to your moons.
Puck.
I'll give you the moon.
There's a moon called Puck.
Of course, from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Francisco, Ophelia. Oh, you didn't. You weren't... Desdemona. I wonder if that moon has a handkerchief.
Othello.
Portia, Cressida.
Troilus and Cressida.
Bianca, Belinda, Rosalind.
One of the problem plays.
Juliet.
Yeah, we know
Cupid,
that one. All right.
Cetubis, Caliban. Mob? Mab?
Moab.
No, just M-A-B.
M-A-B, Mab, I don't know that one.
Stefano, Prospero. Ooh, Prospero, that's a great
Tempest.
Name. Ferdinand?
All right,
that's
I think
enough.
We've shed it. And it has a ring system also, which he claims to have seen, or Herschel claims to have seen it, but it's only been visited by Voyager 2.
Yeah, it would say, in terms of spacecraft.
And we're not going back.
There's I don't think there's anything on the docket.
Nope.
So...
Yeah, Pluto.
We're not
going to
know much about Uranus for a long time.
You and I won't. We'll never know. I don't think.
No. Okay. 1845. Felix Mendelssohn, his violin concerto receives its premier performance in Leipzig.
The E minor, called the perfect violin concerto.
And Ferdinand David.
And it's pretty damn good. David.
David.
Yes.
Ferdinand David was the soloist that night on March 13th.
Great, great piece of music. Love that. Love that concerto.
All right, 1862 in the U.S.-American Civil War. Well, the old Union forbids all Union Army officers from returning fugitive slaves.
Yeah, if they'd have thought of this a few years earlier, we probably wouldn't have had a Civil War.
Thus, effectively...
Fugitive slave laws, we talked about them.
Annulling the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 and setting the stage for the Emancipation Proclamation.
Fugitive slave laws. Those were horrible, and that's what caused the Civil War. That was in the tariffs. But anyway.
Now, let me ask you about this next one.
Okay.
This date in 1865, the Confederate States of America agree to the use of African American troops.
Yeah, it was a little too little, too late.
Who's going to sign up for that?
A lot of them did.
Out of what? Fear?
Well, no. There were certain allegiance to the Confederacy. And I think they had promises of freedom, too. That helped.
Okay. So they had some type of contract.
They gave them an incentive,
Still. Are you kidding?
It was way too late. They're getting their butts kicked.
Well, it's March. Starving. There's a month left to go in the war. There's a month.
Is that bad?
No, it's not.
All right.
No, we're not even using that. Technical stuff, folks.
All right, yes.
Armin
technical glitch.
Things go off in the studio.
Listen,
Armin gets nervous.
I don't
nervous.
Want any of my genius to go...
We can't have it wasted.
Right.
No,
this is for posterity.
No, absolutely. This is the annals of history.
This is our contribution to posterior.
Yes.
As Larry Fine would
say. Yeah, this is our contribution to posterior. We got a lot of it.
Ample. Yes.
1930, the discovery of Pluto.
Oh, here we go again.
The
yeah.
news of Pluto. Well, that's telegraphed over to Harvard College Observatory. Hey, we've discovered.
Harvard grad, I believe, Percival Lowell discovered this. Named for him and Clyde Tombaugh, hence Pluto, Percival Lowell and Clyde Tombaugh.
Yeah, that's
Lowell
that,
comes from an interesting family.
Let me say the name of that thing, it's dumb, okay?
What's the matter with it?
It's an acronym. We don't need an acronym.
Yeah, but it's a god. It's a Roman god. What's the
yeah,
problem?
It just happened to be a Roman god.
Well, okay, so you don't like Pluto.
No, I don't.
You don't like that it's been...
And I don't like that it's lost its status as a planet either.
It's been relegated to dwarf planet.
We're not having relegation and promotion for planets.
That to, what's his name, Brown?
That's for soccer.
All right. So anyway, Percival Lowell comes from a very interesting family. His sister, Amy Lowell, not one of my favorite poets, but not terrible. She's free verse, blank verse.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's just junk. And she was an imagist poet. I don't know what the hell that means. She won the Pulitzer Prize. Ezra Pound, because she had a gland problem, so she was continuously overweight.
Uh-huh.
So Ezra Pound called her a hippo poetess.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that wonderful?
Coming from a good job, person named Ezra Pound.
Well, he was a nut, too. He was a screwball. But anyway, then James Russell Lowell, a fireside poet. He was a lawyer. He was in the family. A big abolitionist guy. But that's weird because he called freed slaves dirty, lazy, and lying. I don't know what that was. I don't know why. Bigelow Papers is pretty good. Temperance guy, but he drank. So
oh, okay.
I don't know where he got that. He was a big temperance. But Percival Lowell
must have owned a speakeasy.
Well, he died long before those came along. But Percival Lowell lived in Japan for a while, ran a cotton mill. I was doing some the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Now this guy, he's a pretty good astronomer, but he made his share of mistakes. Like the canals on Mars.
Oh, no.
That's him.
No, I found canals. No, sir.
Yeah, that's probably that didn't work out. And then he also found supposedly spokes on the surface of Venus.
Yeah.
But he was actually looking at the blood vessels in his own eye. Had a problem with his telescope there. So, yeah. He made a share of mistakes.
But, Armand, he had people believe in the canal thing.
Yeah.
I think he probably believed it as well. Again, it's George Costanza.
Schiaparelli, I think, was the guy that discovered them, supposedly. And
it's
he
not
went
a lie
up,
if you but, believe it.
But, well, it also influenced a lot of our great literature.
It sure did.
And, what's his name, War of the Worlds.
Let me tell you, if you think you have a civilization one planet over,
that's
a game changer.
Ray Bradbury.
He didn't discover
Edgar Rice Burroughs. They all write about Martian
civilization. Well, that's the John Carpenter thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Don't mention that. I had Disney stock when that came out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't mention that flop.
Yeah, that
was a flop.
He didn't discover that face on Mars, did he? Or was that later, in Viking or something?
Did you see that one? I thought that was some weird news. They found saw a space man or something.
Yeah, they say it's an alien.
Right, they caught him.
With the laser gun and everything. It's just a rock and a shadow.
That's what they all are.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
Well, if you believe global warming, you'll believe that. There you go again. You don't believe that. Once and for all, do you believe in that nonsense?
We've had this. I'm not having this discussion again.
I don't remember.
We've had it many times.
You do.
I've said, Armand, 97% of the scientists think the Earth is getting
warmer. Do I have to print out a paper? That is not true. Absolutely not. I'm going to have to print out the paper for you. The actual study by Cook et al. That's not what it said.
What does it say?
It says 0.31% think it's global warming. The rest have no opinion. He took 11,000 papers and used 97 of them. That's what they did. Other ones had no opinion.
I've asked you for years.
And they're not by climate.
I've asked you for years, and you can't
answer
the question.
I'll give you what? What question?
Do you think the planet's getting hotter or not?
Yes, of course. It's been getting hotter for the last 10,000 years. We're coming out of a ice age.
Finally, you answered the question.
It has nothing to do with CO2.
I didn't ask you that.
Okay, fine. What point have you made then?
Is the planet getting warmer?
And it has in the last 20 years, but over the last 10,000 years, yes.
Yeah, you know climates change.
Absolutely. Has nothing to do with CO2 content. That's the issue.
Wasn't the question.
That's the problem. You're not asking the right questions, as Richard Feynman would say.
Well, that's true. 1933, Great Depression. The banks in the U.S., they took a little bank holiday.
Thank you, FDR. You saved us.
On March 13th.
See, now there's a Jehovian right there, Frank.
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt, avatar of God.
They reopen after that bank holiday, mandated, by the way, mandated.
After millions lost all their savings, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. 1933, March 13th, 1943. This is a tough one.
Well, more liquidation.
The German forces that are occupying Krakow, Poland, begin to clear out the Jewish ghetto. And
they were very thorough about it.
I mean, it's I think best detailed probably in two movies, Schindler's List and the Piano, The Pianist?
Yeah, The Pianist, yeah.
Adrian Brody in that one. Yeah. There's untold documentaries.
You have to feel a little sorry for that Nazi at the end, though.
Which one?
The Pianist.
In the
Yeah, the guy fed him and everything, gave him his coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, guy just didn't end up, you know.
Here's what I cannot wrap my brain around. Okay. If you are just run-of-the-mill German soldier assigned to Krakow Ghetto.
Well, this is the great debate. We were just following orders, that thing?
Yeah. Not just that. Not just the following orders thing. But at some gut level, these soldiers had to understand what was going on was wrong.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, had the Germans won the war, they would have been prosecuting the bombers that dropped bombs on Dresden, too, and said, hey, you knew what you were doing. So... Yeah.
Well, even Robert McNamara says that.
Well, that's true.
Can I get you to watch this Fog of War?
I thought this was a book.
It's a documentary.
I don't care about that. I'll watch it.
I don't have to.
I know. I've heard Robert McNamara.
He says on tape, had we lost, he and LeMay would have been prosecuted as war criminals.
They would have been executed. Curtis LeMay? Are you kidding? That's what I'm saying. So I don't know what your point is. Of course they knew what they were doing.
No, my question is run of just average, common foot.
That's what's
soldier.
But that's what turns in. Men turn into beasts. That's what war does to people. That's why you don't want war. Now, whether they're killing civilians or other soldiers, it's still killing. And
right.
It's happened
right.
over thousands of years.
Right.
All right.
I think that's your greatest argument you've ever put forth.
Yeah, well, I'm pacifist.
It's not that you're a pacifist.
I like
you're
boxing and MMA, but
you're
I don't like war.
It's not that you're a pacifist, you're anti-war. I think there's a difference.
I don't know. It's a very subtle one.
I think there's a difference.
The difference escapes me.
I think when push comes...
I don't mind fighting myself.
When push comes to shove, you would defend yourself in a wartime situation.
Sure.
But you're not going out looking...
Well,
or
if my country ordered me, if I was conscripted
okay,
and I had to fight, I would fight.
You would fight.
Yeah,
but you're not
that.
Going out looking or advocating no. for unnecessary wars.
Well, they're all unnecessary in my opinion.
I'm akin to believe you.
But I'm not a pacifist in the I've been in a lot of fights in my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess we would call that a nonviolence.
Right.
I'm very
right.
violent.
I've always wondered because, you know, the majority of these German soldiers, you know, it's not like they were killed. Okay. The Jews from the ghetto, very few survived.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Very few survived.
They didn't kill them outright. So when
I'm not saying they
lined them up supposedly into a cattle car somewhere.
Yeah, no, they started
shipping
them.
They knew where they were going.
Right.
They thought, okay, we need slave labor, which
right.
in itself is nothing noble. But I don't know if they knew that where they were really going, most of them, the vast majority.
Well, that might
and
be
that goes for the civilians.
That
too.
Might be true of the civilian and the soldier.
Maybe I don't know.
But at some point, the soldiers who had to be seeing the atrocities.
Yeah.
It's not like those soldiers all went to Nuremberg and stood trial. They went back to life.
Yeah, but what are you going to do if you're a regular soldier and the SS comes around
I'm
and
not,
starts saying,
I'm
you
not
know,
saying,
Jews are like monkeys and we got to kill them?
I'm not saying you're going to do anything.
Right.
I'm saying you have to mentally deal with that.
Yeah. Well.
And you have to deal with it not just then, but for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you just walk back into your life and live through those.
It's called schnapps.
Oh.
That's what they do. I'm sure.
Brutal.
All right.
All right, halfway through the program. Let's see who was born on this fine date, March the 13th. Oh, boy, right off the bat. Here we go. Well, there's two ways to make money in America, Armand. Two ways.
Well, I think you missed one here.
Okay. Well, who do you have?
Percival Lowell.
Yes.
1855. Yeah, we just talked about it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's his birthday, too.
All right. Good. Happy birthday, Percival.
Discovered Pluto, along with Clyde Tombaugh. All right. Now you may go ahead.
All right. Well, there's two ways to make money in America, and one of them is to found a religion.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this guy at
because
length.
It's tax exempt.
I think
it's,
on his death day
it's
we
tax
talked about
exempt,
him.
And that's exactly what L. Ron Hubbard did, born on this date in 1911.
Yeah, you get yourself a ship, and you get a few women to serve you, like, all 25 and under. Man, this guy had his, oh, boy, what a, he was, I liked him. Now see that documentary. That's kind of fun.
He was on a different plane.
I like him.
1913, William J. Casey, born the 13th director of the CIA. He died in 1987 under what I will always maintain very suspicious circumstances.
Well, if you're in the CIA, everything's suspicious.
Well, he died on an operating table.
Well, A lot of people do.
Yeah, well.
Stay off operating
generally
tables.
Generally
not. Stay out of hospitals.
1914, Edward O'Hare.
We talked about him.
Yeah.
Butch O'Hare.
Butch O'Hare. Happy birthday, Butch.
St. Louis kid.
Birthday, O'Hare Field.
Yep.
1939, Neil Sedaka. You a fan?
Yeah, he's all right.
Okay. 1947, great race car driver Lynn St. James, one of the first females to run in the Indianapolis 500, Daytona 500. She was good.
Was she after Guthrie?
Janet Guthrie and Lynn St. James. Guthrie was first. St.
Okay.
James was second.
All right, that's what I thought.
She had some good finishes. You know, she was today.
Man, she's 70. Holy shit.
Yeah, today a lot of the female drivers are hit and miss. The ones from the 70s and 80s.
You're better off being Danica Patrick and, you know, posing nude and stuff.
She doesn't pose nude.
Yeah, but in her bikini and
shit. Oh, sure.
And the sand on her tits. And, you know.
1950, happy birthday, Charles Krauthammer.
Oh, really? That's big of you. The enemy?
He's a fan. You're a fan.
He's all right. I mean,
by the way,
Charles
has said some interesting things lately.
I'm not sure. Can he move his hands?
I don't know.
I keep watching on the show because I don't know how paralyzed. Is he quadriplegic or I don't know how paralyzed he is.
No,
he jumping into a swimming pool or something?
But I don't think he's. I don't know.
He's a psychiatrist.
But no, he's been very interesting.
I disagree
lately.
With a lot of stuff.
Sure, you do.
Yeah, with a lot of stuff.
Sure, you do.
But I agree with a lot of it, too.
1950. Hard to believe these two are the same age. William H. Macy, born on the exact same day, March 13th, 1950. Favorite William H. Macy?
I guess Fargo.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
He was pretty good in The Cooler, too, wasn't it? Wasn't
yeah,
that him?
It wasn't
Cooler?
Such a great movie, but he was good.
I think another one that you. Well, no, he's after this.
But
so
not, I mean,
I like William. He's all right.
I think he's Shameless on Showtime. A lot of people rave about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he can play a variety of characters,
he's all right.
Man.
He's a good actor. He's not your pretty boy.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
I'm cooperating here. I'm cooperating.
Yeah. Ma'am? A friend of mine.
That scene in Fargo, that's.
Actually, a friend of mine had that one line where he goes and asks the mechanic, whatever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, remember he says things, eating a sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my buddy Steve Schaefer. Yeah, he's
oh,
in my
is
acting
it?
Class.
Okay.
Yeah.
So very good.
What the Christ?
1956, Dana Delaney. Now, we should have seen more of her. Oh, yes, you do.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do.
In 1956, I have another one even bigger.
Bigger?
Much bigger.
Bigger?
You would hate him. Jamie Dimon. You don't even know who he is.
I know Gerard Dimon.
Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's big, man.
No, he is big.
Billionaire banker.
Absolutely.
Somebody that Hillary and all you lefties hate.
What are you talking about? Hillary loves those folks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's a big Democrat. He's barely a Democrat, he says.
But he
gave a lot of money to Hillary.
Yeah, he did. Yep. He did. He's a middle-of-the-road dude.
Yeah, he was a bank guy that got purchased.
Yeah, he's the type of dude who probably wants just the right amount of regulation for what suits him.
He hates the Volcker Rule. He's totally against...
Well, a lot of people hate the Volcker Rule,
well, including
Armand.
Volcker. So anyway, he's against Sarbanes-Oxley and all that other crap. What's the other big one that
Dodd-Frank?
Yeah. So. Homo jerk. So anyway,
hey.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't like
If you don't like Barney Frank, fine, but you don't need to.
Hey, listen, I told you I'm contemplating turning bi.
Well,
so I'm one of them. I'm a B.
It's fine.
See? So, you got any problem with that?
Maybe.
Got a problem with my hand on your thigh? Huh?
Call
Sailor?
Call Barney up and see if
he doesn't appeal to me.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, this guy had the London Whale a few years ago.
Yeah.
The London Whale. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guy's name was Bruno Ixil. I love that name. Bruno. So anyway, he had throat cancer, Jamie Dimon. But I think he's okay. He had chemo. Because the stock plunged when he...
When he had the announcement.
Yeah, I bought a little bit. I made a few grand. So anyway, I like Jamie Dimon. He went in front of the House, or the Senate, I believe. And he told him what for. Happy birthday, Jamie.
All right. 1960, Adam Clayton, born on this date.
I know him.
Yes, you do. He's the basis for you too.
Oh, I still don't know him.
Yeah, he's the basis for you too.
Yeah, but I don't know him.
Well, you may not know him personally, but you've seen Adam Clayton.
See, there you go again, asking the wrong questions. You derive the wrong answers.
1966, my name of the day is born, Chico Science.
I don't know what the hell. Is that purely?
It's my name of the day.
Okay, nomenclature.
Chico Science.
All right.
That's a hell of a name. Science. Chico Science.
Yeah, okay.
1967, Andres Escobar, the Colombian footballer, is born. Now, Armin, the reason I bring this up is...
Yeah, why?
Okay.
This guy. Is he the own goal guy?
He is the own goal.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got to celebrate. We got to remember him on his death day. Right?
No,
he scored an own goal and they killed him, right?
They scored an own goal. He came back home to Colombia. He was killed in
a nightclub.
Is that
against the U.S.?
Yes, it was. At the Rose Bowl.
Well, you lose to the U.S., you're going to get killed.
At the Rose Bowl. The documentary, though, to watch, and here's a recommendation for the day. To this day, the 30 for 30 series on ESPN, which has had a lot of good wrestling ones in
Dan
there.
Dan Gable.
Yep. That exactly. Yes. For my money, the two Escobars.
There's another one?
Yeah. Pablo.
Ooh. Oh. That's on ESPN?
The two Escobars, which is a 30 for – it is the finest documentary.
Okay. It's one documentary, two Escobars.
Yeah.
I thought he got a documentary, too.
Well, he's had many documentaries.
Yeah, but on ESPN?
But they parallel the drug
cartels
in Colombia.
No relation,
and
apparently.
And how he was – now, Pablo Escobar did not have Andres Escobar killed. But it tells the story in parallel, and it's fascinating.
All right,
it is really fascinating. Highly recommend the two Escobars. Grab a DVD. Go to Amazon through our website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, and click the Amazon banner and go get yourself the two Escobars. Armand, I'm going to count on you to watch that.
All right.
And then 1987, son of Mario Andretti, Marco Andretti.
I'll bet he's a race driver.
He's a race car driver, and he's had his shot at the Indy 500
as
well. Now,
this does not prove that there's a gene for race car driving. Let's just, all you eugenics people.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
It's not Lamarckianism.
Not at all. No. The only gene for race car driving is lack of fear.
Okay.
And that may not be a gene. That's just an undeveloped region of your brain.
It's still not worth it. Although they get laid. Man, I'd rather be L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
He did it.
Would you rather
safely.
Be L. Ron Hubbard, or would you rather be coming down the straightaway at 200?
I think I'd rather be L. Ron Hubbard than just about anybody in the world.
At 230 miles an hour and have a tire blow.
Nope. L. Ron Hubbard any day.
Because I've been to a lot of Indy 500s, and I cannot believe the guys walk away from even the simplest of the crashes.
Yeah, the only problem he had to worry about was martinis weren't dry enough.
The impacts are, God, they're amazing. All right. I remember one time a friend of mine in high school, like a tire flew off a car.
Oh, yeah.
And her dad was in the upper.
In the infield?
Like the upper seats of one of the grandstands, and it hit a guy in his row. You're not even safe as a fan sometimes.
Damn right. A lot of them get killed on the infield. Yep.
Oh,
but they get it's a good lawsuit.
Back to the events. Let's go to Vietnam. Let's go to Dien Bien Phu.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. The Viet Minh forces under Nguyen Giap unleashed that huge barrage on the French.
General Jap. His name's Jap.
Jap?
Yeah, and the guy, I forget the guy. Wow, what was that French guy's name? He was a very poor general. Puts the place in a plain, surrounded by mountains, figuring, well, they can't bring any artillery up here. They did. They just lobbed shells
at
them for months.
From a beautiful vantage point.
And then, from the Hermann Göring school of warfare, we're gonna supply you from the air. Most of their supplies dropped to Viet Cong.
There you go. Viet Minh at the time.
So
here you go. Have some supplies.
There's got to be some good books on
that. Here's some pastries. Here's some butter. Here's some croissants. Yeah. Here's some Perrier.
Here's some French postcards with nude women.
That'll keep you.
Yeah.
Here, boys in lieu of pay. Here's some paddles. Entertain yourself.
Well, this was the best thing ever happened to the Viet Minh. Yeah.
God.
Anyway, there's got to be some great books on this. Read one.
Well, there is.
I never read it.
There is. The Lost.
Too depressing.
I will tell you one. The Lost Valley. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's
the Lost
pretty
Valley.
And it's explicit about where they were.
It's an older book now.
I'm gonna check that out.
It's been kind of
fun reading about French getting the shit beat out of
them. It's been a long time since
I've read it. The only problem is we got the shit beat out of us, too. No, we actually didn't. We won. Walter Cronkite lost.
Let me find this one for you.
All right, while you do that, let me fulminate against Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's the Last Valley, Dien Bien Phu, and the French defeat in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, that was a defeat, all
the
right.
The Last Valley, not the Lost Valley. And, it's December of 2005.
So
it
I take it you haven't read it then.
Mark, no, I just thought it was the Lost Valley. And it's
the
Last
Valley. You did read
it,
but you didn't know the title.
Martin Windrow is the author, and it starts in 1953 with the French paratroopers and they take you from there.
Check it out.
Like if you like John Keegan or Max Hastings,
those
historians. Windrow is kind of, next tier perhaps.
Yeah, but it's an interesting subject. I'd like to learn more about it.
That, you know what? That might be a good Audible book if it's out there.
Yeah,
you know, go to audible.com and check out The Last Valley. All right, 1957, the Cuban student revolutionaries, well, they start to get their mojo on.
Yeah,
and they make a little run at the presidential palace, but as Armand said, it fails, and Fulgencio Batista is there for two more years.
Yeah, we talked about him, haven't we? I hope we have.
Oh, we have.
He's an interesting character, Batista.
In 1969, on March 13th, just four months before Apollo 11 will hit the moon.
Yeah.
Apollo
9. Recon mission.
The recon, yep. It returns safely to Earth after test landing the lunar module. People forget the first thing placed on the moon by the Apollo program. Well, that's not even accurate. There's other things that got to the moon. But the first lander is Apollo 9, not Apollo 11.
Okay.
They did the dry run.
All right.
I also watched a special last night. You know, people who think the moon landing's fake.
Oh yeah,
they say that the Apollo 1 test was
the
designed
one to fire.
Yeah, was designed specifically to kill Gus Grissom because he was going to out him.
I believe that. Yeah.
Well, that's for our friends. Surreal talk.
Yeah, I think you talk to Everett.
Everett
about
and
that.
Eric Hicks. Consult Surreal Talk.
Yeah, the Hicks brothers.
You can go to surrealtalk.com and find plenty on that. 1988, the longest tunnel in the world, undersea tunnel in the world, that is, opens between
Aomori
and
Hakodate,
Japan.
I think that's
Saikan Tunnel.
I think it's between Honshu and Kyushu? I think Kyushu, two of the islands.
Between the islands, baby. That's a hell of
Japanese,
a tunnel.
Japanese, man. They don't like
it's
the
a hell
ocean.
Of a tunnel, though, dude.
I've never
especially
been
in an earthquake zone.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, come on. You ever in a tunnel and thinking...
I saw the movie with Stallone.
What if something,
Daylight.
What if something happens right now? What's my plan?
You're done.
No, I think that's why people drive incredibly fast through tunnels.
Yeah, don't worry.
You ever go through
is
that...
Is that what you're worried about?
You ever go
you
through
might
that
worry
tunnel?
About getting hit by a meteor. No, what's your plan?
Dodge it.
Yeah.
Dip. Duck,
you
dive.
See, you can't. That's impossible because a meteorite is what hits you, not a meteor. See, I got you again.
Oh, see.
You're answering the wrong questions.
Yeah. Yep. Under cross-examination,
yep.
I fold.
You sure do.
1991, the U.S. Department of Defense announces, I'm sorry, Department of Justice, the DOJ announces that Exxon has agreed to pay $1 billion for the cleanup of the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Captain Hazelwood got drunk, so.
It cost him $1 billion.
Yeah, those things happen.
1996.
So we build the pipeline instead, and we do not put the oil on freighters.
You know,
that's the answer.
Why not the huge bladder thing? I don't get that. Why not?
The bladder? Oh, the you mean,
Kramer came up with it on Seinfeld. Seems to
good idea. Let's just go to solar and wind. Save the planet.
I was happy to pay $1.96 for my gas today.
Boy, you lucky dog. Where'd you get it?
Missouri.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I got to go over there and get some gas.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm happy.
Some cigarettes.
We're going to be on gas for the rest of our life, Armand.
You damn right we are. Good thing, too. Okay. Thank God.
But
yes.
We can get the oil into our refineries in a little safer fashion.
What, than a pipeline? What's safer?
No, than a big ship that runs into a rock.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. But that's not going to our refineries. That's going to wherever. I don't know what the hell. They're shipping it somewhere else.
Yeah, they're bringing it down the coast.
That's why pipelines are safe. Yes, pipeline.
Until the pipeline breaks or is sabotaged.
Oh, come on.
It's happened before. Happened again.
Everything's happened before. There is a certain amount of risk to every human endeavor, right? You get in your car, there's a risk.
Totally.
Okay. Well, you can't eliminate it.
You're just trying to negate it.
Well, you try to minimize it. That's
all. That's what negate means.
No,
you know that.
Negate means completely get rid of.
Mitigate.
Ah, there you go. That's what. Okay, better. Better.
1996 in Dunblane, Scotland. This was the date that the primary school there had the spree of the killer.
This.
Yeah, I do. I do very well.
See?
Thomas Watt Hamilton, who then committed suicide.
This is
very notable because school shootings, as they started to
proliferate,
we were kind of thinking this is an American phenomenon.
No.
And it's not. It's happened in Russia. It's happened in Europe. It's happened in Scotland. I don't know if it's happened in Asia.
I don't know about schools. I know there have been a few spree killers in right. Australia, but not school. The big one's that one in Russia, but that was, what, the Chechens or whatever that took over the place?
Yeah, that's,
that was a bad one.
That's and that I don't know how you define it, Armand, but that really crosses the line into more of a
terrorism.
Terrorism.
Well, rather you're going to be a terrorist, you kill kids.
Rather than an individual on a rampage.
That's what I'm saying. That's a little different,
In 1997, the Missionaries of Charity, that is Mother Teresa's organization in India, well, they choose Sister Nirmala to succeed Mother Teresa.
She must not have a good PR agent because I never heard of her.
Well, it's been 20 years.
Well, but I never heard of her. Mother Teresa, I've heard of.
Well, sure you have. She's a saint now.
Okay.
You can go. Hey, by the way, go out. There's
beatified.
There's a lot of criticism about the
she's okay.
Missionaries of Charity.
What's the matter with them?
Or just go Google.
Is there a book, a tell-all book on it?
No, I don't think there is, but just there's a lot of
question
articles.
Question is, you have to have Ocho Man. Is she Albanian or Armenian?
He says Armenian.
Yes, violently.
Yeah, he says Armenian.
Jeez.
1997, the Phoenix Lights. Here's another one.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell these are. Okay, I have to look this up.
Just Google this, folks, because you can. There were lights over Phoenix seen by thousands upon thousands of people, filmed by scores of people.
It's just the wind.
And watched on live TV, by the way.
We've got to talk about this on Surreal Talk.
Watched on live TV. Everett.
Get an explanation for this.
So, military test, aliens, who knows?
Yeah. Christmas lights.
Did you ever see a UFO?
No. There's no such thing. Well, I guess there is an unidentified flying object. It's not aliens, though.
If I go outside
and
I buy something from Walgreens...
Who's the only president to see a UFO?
Jimmy Carter.
Very good, of course. You had to guess that one.
No, I knew it. He went and testified about it.
I told you he's a nut.
He testified, didn't he?
Yeah, he testified, all right.
Not in that fashion. Not in that.
I saw it.
I saw it, Congressman. It came down and it said
plant. That's what you get when you inhale the vapors of peanuts.
It said plant peanuts in planes.
You get addled brains.
Hey, you ever been to Plains, Georgia?
No.
Whew.
Smells, reeks of peanuts, peanut oil.
No, but I mean, it really, it's that one part of the South that is like parts of the Midwest where it's just damn flat.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
Georgia's flat?
Yeah. No, not really. Georgia's a beautiful state. Nice rolling hills.
It could be flat and beautiful.
Nah.
Ask any flat woman.
Oh, shut up. It's a long way to
go. Are you a sexist?
No, not at all.
Mammarist?
2008. I am pro mammary.
Oh, me too.
2008. Ooh. Gold prices on the New York Mercantile.
They're not that much more right now.
Exchange. Yeah. They hit 1,000 per ounce for the first time.
Not that much, really. With inflation, that's not that much.
Do you own any gold?
No, I don't know. Well,
I had an aunt who
my mother has jewelry, I guess.
But I mean gold, like stamped.
No, not
ingot.
No.
I had an aunt who did.
I think it's dead money.
She used to buy those South African cougarons.
We're not going to have inflation. There's no inflation. Why have gold? I mean, that's my theory. I don't know.
I know another gentleman who converted all
money in the stock market.
Know another gentleman who converted all his money to gold and buried it in the desert by his house.
It's a good idea.
Hope
that's
he can
what
find
you're gonna
it.
Do. Yeah, that's the other problem. If we get to this point where it's anarchy, okay, where are you going to put your gold? They're going to take it away from you anyway. You're going to put it in a safety deposit box.
Yeah.
The bank's in it. They're going to take it away.
They're
at the bank.
Take it. Right.
So I don't know what the point is. Unless you're going to bury it, right?
Nothing's ever yours.
Yeah, the guy's got the right idea. You bury it somewhere.
And in 2013,
why did you bring? I hate this guy.
Why? Why do you hate this guy?
Because he's a socialist numbskull who believes in global warming.
No, he's not. This is a hero, and you need to get on board. The 266th Pope of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic
and
Church,
worst,
that is
last.
The is elected at the papal conclave.
Call him Jorge, huh? Jorge the First.
Yeah,
his name.
It's Pope Francis.
Yeah,
Pope Francis.
It's been 4 years.
Jorge
Bergoglio.
Borrelio?
Bergoglio.
Bergoglio.
You don't even pronounce his name right, which I like.
Yeah, Bergoglio.
Yeah,
yeah. He's great. He's awesome.
Bergoglio. Like the forego Bergoglio. I hate him.
A man who actually lives what the gospel says.
Oh yeah, he's in abject poverty. This guy. What are you talking about? Lives like a prince. Which he thinks he is.
I don't think.
He tells everybody else we got to give our money away to the poor.
I think you ought to go see what he did as bishop in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, the next bingo game.
When he lived in an apartment and rode a standard bus to work.
Oh, wow. That's poverty, I guess.
No, it's just being the every man.
Oh. Well, he's just as stupid and I think as every
they
man.
Would, they
well,
would
then
let
why
him...
is he beatified? Why is he flawless then? Every man.
He didn't vote to make himself flawless.
He rides the bus. He shits and pisses.
Yes.
He's just as dumb as anybody else that believes in global warming. But he's a socialist on top of it.
Always back to global warming.
He's not a scientist. Why does he stick his big... Neither is Gore, by the way. But who cares about his opinion? He's not one of the 97%. He's an anti-capitalist. Read what he says. Now, you could say that's good religion, you know, that Jesus was an anti-capitalist. I don't know. But in this day and age, I don't need the Pope telling me how to live or what to do with my money.
Are you Catholic?
No.
Then don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm Armenian. We're religious.
Yes, but your Armenian church.
John Paul II was a great pope. You can be a great man and a pope. This guy's a very mediocre man and a pope.
You have your own pope. Listen to your pope.
I don't listen to any of
them. The Coptics have their own pope.
He doesn't talk about global warming.
Listen to that one.
Right.
There are six.
Yeah, but this is the guy.
There are
how many billion Catholics are there?
There's a billion.
Okay.
There are six other wings of the Christian Orthodox Church.
Do you think it's in his purview to talk about global warming and redistribution of wealth?
He's Pope. He can talk about what he wants.
Yeah, but why listen? That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to. It's your free will to choose if you want to.
Why do you defend him, though? He's an idiot. What greatness do you see in this man? I don't understand. Okay, so he rode a bus. Okay, I'm going to get on a bus. Call me great next show, okay?
I might.
If I take a bus home?
I might.
Oh, well, good.
I'd love to see you.
See, if I earn your respect, I'll take a rickshaw.
Waiting for a pie station.
Yeah. It's snowing outside. I'd be a real great man. There's no snow probably where he was waiting for a bus.
No, it generally doesn't snow in Buenos Aires
or
Rome. Okay. Oh, it's beautiful.
All right. We differ on this guy.
All right. Who passed away on this
day? Why bring him up?
Oh. It's his birthday.
He was elected on this date,
March
13th. Yeah, Ascension Day.
Now, let me tell you, the papal conclave, though, that's got to be some dynamite behind the scenes stuff to watch. Come on now.
Got to be bribery and
intrigue. Come on. I mean, the intrigue level has to be off the scale.
Hey, you vote for me, I'll get you laid. Stuff like that, you think?
I'm sure they promise positions. I'm sure they promise, appointments,
okay,
and stuff like that.
How about if one of them?
Do you know the procedure?
How about if one of them was dead? Weekend at the Pope election.
Do you know the procedure though?
I don't care.
You don't care.
They burned that. I didn't know the black smoke, the white smoke, all that stuff.
It's actually you should.
How this guy got elected?
You
I'll
should
never
read about the conclave procedure. It is fascinating.
What's that movie with Anthony Quinn? It wasn't Shoes of the Fisherman. Well, he played the Pope, remember?
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of... What was that one? Last Fisherman or something? I don't remember.
Could be something like that.
He was a Russian Pope, I think they made him.
Oh, come on.
What was that movie?
Let's not go crazy here.
Well, there was a Polish Pope, so...
Yeah, but the Polish Pope's part of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, Russia used to be.
Used to be. Yeah, a Greek Orthodox is not going to be the name of the... Is not going to be the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church.
Was it Shoes of the Fisherman?
It could be. I don't know. Who died?
Okay, go ahead.
Leland Stanford Jr.?
Yeah, we talked. Now he's
no,
not
we
one.
Talked about Senior.
Right.
This is Junior. He passed away, the son of Leland Stanford. 1901, Benjamin Harrison passes away on this date.
I hate this guy.
He was the 23rd
I hate
president.
Him too. And just to show you that I'm, not. Yeah, Shoes of the Fisherman. That's what it's called. Okay, 1968.
Oh, right. A late one. Okay.
Yeah. Anthony Quinn was a Russian pope. Now, I'm going to go into Benjamin Harrison a little bit.
You do that.
Okay, he's a Republican, right? Yeah. You think I'm a Republican? I hate this son of a bitch.
No, I think you cannot be defined by a political party.
Well, yeah, undefined, just like dividing by zero.
Yes. Look, you're empty set is what you are.
Undefined. There's a difference. Wait a minute. I don't think I'm going to be pissed off when I figure that out. All right. Anyway, Benjamin Harrison, grandson of William Henry Harrison, only... Son, grandson, etc. Who cares?
Yep.
Now, this is when the Republican Party was for what? High tariffs, big spenders, like Lincoln, protectionism.
Yes.
Now, we got two big acts this guy did, all right? And both of them sucked. Sherman Antitrust Act, named after John Sherman, brother of Kump Sherman,
I didn't think the Sherman Act got passed until like 1913.
No. Oh. Sherman Antitrust Act, Benjamin Harrison. As a gift to his buddies, the McKinley Tariff, that was him. This is all during his reign. And now the mythology is that there was this capitalism was running amok. And you had to check on me? Are you kidding me?
No, I wanted to see the date. It was 1890 for the Sherman Antitrust.
Right. I'm telling you. So anyway, and this
So you're for monopolies.
Yeah, that's the myth. There were no monopolies at the time. That's the myth that free markets are running amok, and we have to rein them in. That has nothing to do with that. Nothing to that. Basically,
okay, explain that.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. These guys, the reason for this act was exactly what we were talking about. There's the prices were going up because there's no competition, correct? Competition had increased through the 1880s. The prices had been going down. In fact, there was deflation at this time. None of these things really worked out. They wanted to eliminate competition because these are the guys, the small timers that couldn't make it. So they have these antitrust on sugar. I wrote them down. Rails, coal, steel, zinc, salt, all these things, supposedly. The prices had gone down on every one of these goods. So this Sherman Antitrust Act was basically a kiss-ass to the guys that had lobbyists in Washington and the Republicans. More protectionism is what we had. They raised the tariff through the roof. What do you think that did to consumers under the guise of helping our people?
Jacks up prices.
Yeah. So the Sherman Antitrust Act
makes your
big
market basket
shit.
Quality of life, you know, purchases that much harder.
Everything harder. Yeah. Well, that's what the Republicans were at that time. High tariffs. You know, there was a surplus when he got into office. That's why the guy got killed in his next election against Cleveland again.
Mm-hmm.
All that surplus went
McKinley,
gone.
McKinley, you mean? Or,
no,
or Harrison. Oh, yeah, Cleveland. That's right. That's right.
He beat Cleveland and he lost to Cleveland. He was wedged in. And that's why President Obama doesn't know what he's talking about when he said, 43 men before me. Well, Barry, there are only 42 men because Cleveland counts twice. Okay,
easy to overlook.
Yeah.
Easy to overlook. Yeah. Let's calm down there,
57
Sparky.
States. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to take my pot shots today.
I might need to read through the antitrust.
Yeah,
the
please
Sherman
read
here.
That over. Yeah. John Sherman, real, real great guy. Kump's brother. So anyway, that's a bunch of crap. The McKinley tariff. Even the New York Times, they had a name for that. The campaign, the contributors tariff. That's the New York Times, what they called it. That's what it was.
So here's section.
That's our boy, Benjamin Harrison.
Here's a little language from Sherman Antitrust.
Okay.
Section 1. Every contract combination in the form of trust or otherwise, or conspiracy in restraint of trade or commerce among the several states or with foreign nations is declared illegal.
Yeah.
Section 2 states every person who shall monopolize or attempt to monopolize or combine or conspire with any other person or persons to monopolize any part of the trade or commerce among the several states or with foreign nations shall be deemed guilty of a felony.
Uh-huh. Now, who's supposed to deem this? How do you present this? The collusion and all. How do you prove all this? That's the other thing. Basically, you're just scaring the piss out of everybody. That's all, and you're keeping out the little guy.
Well, I never even thought of it that way.
That's
from the moment I learned about it. Here's how I have thought about it, and mm-hmm. tell me if I'm way off base. This was basically the government's way of saying you got too big.
Yeah, maybe that's what you
think. You got too big.
But what's that got to do with anything? In a free market, let me put it this way. Let's look at the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you Delta and what is it, United Air, whatever the ones they're all merging, right?
They're all like first of all, they've all colluded since their inception to set prices.
Okay, but okay, say they do, say it's true. Okay,
yes, it's
true. If there's no government intervention, nobody's stopping anybody else. You get a Southwest coming in and saying, "Hey, I can do it cheaper," and they do, and they compete. But that's when the big boys go to the government and say, "Listen, they're not safe, or something's wrong with them."
Right.
Right, and that's how they keep out the little guy.
That's how they did it to Tucker.
Well, that's how they do it with all of that. That's with
right?
government.
Not, did they not do it to Tucker
but
it, that
they
way?
They do it all the time. Sure, that's one example. But it's not the free market. It's the government. Because these guys are in bed with the guy. Look at the sugar industry.
Yes.
Well, why
look
do you think
coffee.
We have, okay, high fructose corn syrup, right?
Yes.
We have that because sugar is so expensive. Why is sugar expensive? It's not that expensive. We have protectionism against Brazilian sugar. Well, because of the government. Has nothing to do with the free market. If we had free markets, sugar would be cheap. We wouldn't have that high fructose corn syrup, and people wouldn't be as fat and as unhealthy.
Why are you, But why are you under the illusion that we have a truly free market?
We don't. We never have had one.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's better. If you don't have the government involved, you can have a free market. You will have a free market.
You can get closer.
Why are you under the...
you can get closer to it.
Why are you under the assumption we wouldn't have if government is the big problem, not collusion and monopolies? And also, I've read some good papers, economic papers, that say monopolies have nothing to do with price. There is no intrinsic relationship between the price of a good and how many people offer it.
But I didn't say the monopoly had anything to do with price.
Well, that's what it's for, though. Why are you against monopolies then? Supposedly they hurt the consumer.
When did you hear me say I was?
But that's what Sherman Antitrust Act says.
When did you hear me say I was a
big
fan of it?
Well, why are you so anti-monopoly then? You're anti-monopoly. What is wrong with a monopoly in your view? There's only one company.
The only thing I said to you.
Well, I'm asking
you. The only thing I said to
you. That's why I'm asking you the right question. What is your opinion of a monopoly? And what is the harm?
Because people, whether governmental or not, do not believe intrinsically, Armand, that a monopoly, once it reaches a monopolistic status or an oligopoly status, am I pronouncing that one right?
I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's the word, yeah.
They don't
oligopoly.
Oligopoly. They don't believe that when an industry or a company in an industry reaches that status, that it will act completely in the interest of the consumer.
Okay, so but the harm to the consumer comes from higher prices, correct? How else are you going to harm the consumer?
There's two harms. One, higher prices reducing your overall market basket. That's one harm. Two is loss of quality to maintain price, which also harms your market basket, okay? But again, I didn't state that's a fact. I stated that's a belief among people.
And I'm telling you, there are papers that spell
that. And economists, yes, they plenty.
Right.
I'm sure. I mean, especially from the Chicago school, that will dispel some of this stuff. As I originally said, I think it's just a way of the government and politics saying, you got too big. Let some other people into play here.
Yeah, but they don't. Quite the opposite.
But see,
they keep others out.
But that's the...
Protect us. We're so big, we need protection.
Armand,
because if we fall, look at the banks.
That's the bait and switch, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the bait and switch.
That's free markets. That's government.
Because when you get to that point, you then run to the government and say exactly what you were saying. And
okay.
And then they're like, okay, well...
Well, no. Why wouldn't they let them fail? I'm not a big proponent of TARP and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let them fail. Like Lehman Brothers, AIG.
Because I think...
AIG, they saved.
Right. Yeah, okay. They did.
Why?
General Motors, they saved.
Right. Well, General Motors, first of all, would not have gone like Lehman Brothers. They would have had to go bankrupt, et cetera. American Airlines went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, General Motors is doing great.
Right. But they would have done just as well without all this money from the feds.
Matter of fact, the United States...
In fact, Jamie Dimon,
but
they
forced him to take the money.
He didn't want it.
He said, no, I don't want it, and he said, no, you got to take it.
You got to take it.
I get
TARP.
That.
Beautiful.
However, the United States government made money off of GM.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'm talking about capitalism, and I'm talking...
That
we
is
have no
capitalism. Your government...
Yeah, but who lost? The bondholders lost.
Finally engaged in some... They bought it up. The company got right. They sold it, and they sold it for a profit.
Okay, then when we do it all, well, let's do it all the time, right? Don't let anybody go bankrupt.
I don't think you should.
Where does it end?
I don't think you should do it all the time. I think you should only do it in an extraordinary circumstance.
Okay. What's so extraordinary about General Motors?
The number one auto manufacturer.
So what?
Okay.
The economy would come crashing down if we let General Motors.
It's the argument. Too big to fail.
Where does all that money? What if you use that money for something else? That's the thing. See, that's the unseen.
Well, that's
the
unseen.
The scene.
It's the opportunity cost that you'll never know.
Right. That's the problem. That money could have gone to something else. Let the people keep the damn money and buy a car. That's the problem. Read Bastiat, Frederick Bastiat.
I just kind of would like to know what kind of political party you would assemble.
I don't know if I'd have a political party.
What kind of economic...
Free markets.
What kind of economic thing would you...
Free markets, and absolutely. Then, Adam Smith,
and
Chicago
then,
School,
and then when
Austrian
the,
economics.
Right. And then when
Murray Rothbard.
And then when the bad behaviors...
What
enter,
bad behavior? There's no such thing as bad behavior. What is bad behavior? What is it? Define it for me. If it's prosecutable, you put them in jail. Has anybody gone to jail for the banking crisis?
No.
Well, there you go. What are you talking about?
Should somebody have?
Yes. if they broke the law. If they didn't, then shut up and don't and leave them alone. I don't know if they broke the law per se. You know, tying up all these things in the collateralized debt obligations. I don't know if that's against the law or not. I don't think so. Is it against the law to make money off people being stupid? I don't know. Some people might say it is. But I don't know if they've even, you know, prosecuted anybody.
One prosecution, and it's a small bank.
Well, what is the point of all this then? Right?
Again, I'm trying to get over to you that it's, you get too big.
I'm for small government. Anything small.
You get too big.
Especially the federal government.
They come in. They come in for you.
You get too big. If you get too big and you get too fat, somebody else comes in thin and hungry and beats you at your own game. As long as a government is not protecting you. Right. That's economics. That's why these monopolies and oligopolies are virtually impossible in a free market society. Only with government protection are they.
But now you're talking theoretical and hypothetical.
Not about theoretical. There's nothing theoretical about it. Anybody that understands economics understands it's true.
But we already agreed we're not in a total free market society.
Yeah, everything's right. Okay, if you're talking about theory, of course, right. But the problem is not that there's too much capitalism or too many free markets. The problem is too much government.
What are you yelling at me for?
Well, because you seem to be espousing a different theory, and you support the Pope.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. You get yelled at when you support him.
1906, happy birthday, Susan B.
I wish
Anthony.
You put on a, what does he wear, a zucchetto?
Zucchetto?
His little skull cap.
A mitre.
That's the bishop's big hat.
Yeah.
I think he wears a zucchetto.
1938, happy birthday, Clarence Darrow.
This guy, I mean, I guess we're probably running over a little
bit. Yeah, we are. Benjamin Harrison kind of shot the wad today.
Leopold and Loeb.
Yes.
Scopes trial.
Yes.
You know, when you've been basically portrayed by Spencer Tracy and Orson Welles.
That's good.
You're a big boy.
That's good.
Yeah.
The Scopes trial. That would have been fascinating to cover.
Inherit the Wind. Get the play. Or the movie.
Fascinating
Watch the movie.
To cover. 2006, Maureen Stapleton
passed
away.
She's one of our MS... Remember one of our MS supporting actors?
Yes,
actresses?
She is, with Meryl Streep and Maureen
She played
Stapleton.
Emma Goldman, remember, in Reds?
Yes.
That's what she won the Academy Award for.
Yeah, that's a hard watch, though, Reds.
It's a long movie.
It's slow. It's in Russia. It's not in Russia.
I watched Moonlight the other day, speaking of long and dreary.
Did you like it?
No.
No?
Tedious.
2015, Al Rosen, baseball player, manager, general manager, San Francisco Giants, Cleveland as well. The nice man, met him many times in my sports days. He passed away.
Okay, so the big one today,
2 years
ago.
The big one today, I think.
The Mendelssohn Violin Concerto.
No. I would say there's two that directly affect the world we live in today.
Don't say Pope Francis.
No.
Okay, thank you.
One is the Viet Minh at DNVU.
That was a long time coming.
Starts a chain reaction of events that we still feel to this day. The other truly would be your knock-on effect from Benjamin Harrison.
Okay. Well, because, I got another one that you didn't even mention.
Because it does affect, you know, how we live economically today, and it affects our political landscape.
You did miss one, though. Speaking of sieges,
yes.
1884, the Siege of Khartoum began.
I had it down and I looked at it. You know
General
why?
General Gordon, 10 months later, they killed him. He was kind of a jerk, General Gordon.
I understand. But have you ever watched The Four Feathers?
So I was just going to recommend that.
Yeah,
the new one.
No.
1939.
The 1939
Ralph
version.
Ralph Richardson. Yeah.
Because when you talk about the great films of 1939, one that always gets left out.
Well, not by me.
Not by you, but is The Four Feathers.
That movie.
People will say Wizard of Oz, and they'll say, you know,
Gunga Din
and Gone with
the
Wind.
Sure.
But they'll forget.
Dodge City.
They'll forget. The Four Feathers.
Well, that was in English.
It's a hell of a
Cordas,
movie.
The Cordas.
Hell of a movie.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that footage they use of, like, the Mahdi attacking the dervishes, they use that in all kinds of movies.
Well, that's the whirling dervish, right?
Yeah. The dervish,
And they form the square.
Sudan, yeah.
And
accurate.
The cinematography in this movie, which, by the way, is in color.
Yes.
Is phenomenal.
Yeah, real
for
color.
1939,
this is Technicolor.
Shockingly good film. I mean, it is spectacular. Go get yourself a copy
and
of The Four Feathers.
And don't see the remake.
Make sure you get the 1939 version.
Yes.
The remake is...
it's shite.
I stuck with it for about a half hour, and then I'm done.
Nope.
Sorry.
Great movie.
Yeah. So that'll do it. Hey, follow us on Facebook, folks. Facebook.com/This Day in History Podcast. And also, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. Any major podcast outlet will do. And, you know, tell us what you think. Leave us a review of the show. A couple of you have, and we appreciate it.
Try to use as much profanity as possible.
No, try to refrain. Try to be within the bounds of good taste. All right, well, when March 14th rolls around here at lineupmedia.fm, we're going to be right here to tell you about it. Until then, so long.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.